he taught them many things by parables. And in his teaching, he said, listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. He was scattering the seed. Some fell along the path. The birds came. They ate it up. Some fell in rocky places, didn't have much soil, sprang up quickly, but the soil was shallow. Turn to your neighbor and say, no, I'm just kidding. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched. And they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up, choked the plant, so they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. Someone say, good soil. Good soil. Turn to everybody and say, you look like some good soil. Go ahead. Yeah. No, you didn't say it right. Turn to everybody and say, you look like some good soil. Say it like that. It's some good soil. Oh, yeah. It came up. It grew and it produced the crop 30, 60, 100-fold. And Jesus said, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. I don't know if you hear this and you understand this. I don't know if, you know, you are a country boy and girl getting down on the farm. I don't know if that was your life or not. I don't really know agriculture, so this doesn't make the most sense to me. Amen. Here's the good news. You're in good company, because right after this, the disciples were like, hey, Jesus, I don't know what the heck you were talking about. In verse 10, it says, when he was alone, the 12 and the others asked him about the parables. He's like, Jesus told them, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that, and he's quoting Isaiah here, that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, ever hearing but never understanding, otherwise they might turn and be forgiven, which reminds me that just because you hear something doesn't mean you understand something. Amen? And so, verse 13, Jesus says, don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? There is a preeminence to this parable. This parable, Jesus says, if you don't understand this one, you don't understand not a other one. This is actually one of only two parables in all of Jesus' parables that Jesus explicitly explains the meaning of it. So this makes my job today a lot easier, because he's already explained it. Verse 14 is the explanation. He says, the farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown, and as soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word, at once receive it with joy, but since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Others, seed among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, call that worries and wealth right there, and the desires for other things come in, choke the word, and make it unfruitful. And others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. Okay, that's where we're going to live today. We good? Should we pray? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. It's a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. I thank you for this gathering of your saints, and I just pray that you take a little old 39-year-old like me, and because it's your holy scripture, you take a very natural thing, and by the breath of your spirit, you turn it into a supernatural thing. Go beyond what I can do in the natural. Spirit, speak deep to deep. Speak to people where they're at. Where people need hope, give them hope. Where people need peace, give them peace. Where people need truth, give them truth. Where people just need you and they don't even maybe even realize it. Let your presence be made evident in their lives today. We speak salvation upon your house. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen, amen. Turn to a couple people and just say, no, really, you look like some good soil. Before you grab your seat, go ahead. Thanks. Thank you, Joe. Amen. Why do I say these things? I don't know. You know, sometimes it's to hook people up. You know, maybe you've been checking somebody out and you know, say, hey, maybe the pastor will help me get a date. Some of you are married. Maybe this is putting a little spice back into your life. You know what I'm saying? Here with your spouse and just say, look like some good soil. Praise the Lord. Do y'all like sunflower seeds? Do you? Come on, how many people like sunflower seeds? Like, really, like, you're good, you love some sunflower seeds? I got the best sunflower seeds you could get. I'm talking David Brand. That's a holy name right there. That's David Brand. Where's David at? Come on, David. I was about to give you a shout out, David. This is David Brand sunflower seeds, and not just any sunflower seeds. How many people know the best kind gotta be that ranch flavored? Who knows what I'm talking about? That ranch, that's that road trip ranch, as I like to call it. Road trip ranch flavor. Who could use some sunflower seeds? Who wants some of these right now? Anybody over here? Ma'am, you would like some? I got you right here. Here we go. Praise the Lord. None of those got to you. I'm gonna try it again. Praise God. How about that? Still couldn't get it to you. Here we go. You ready? I'm about to, yee. Here we go. Anybody in this middle section wants some sunflower seeds? Yes, you, ma'am. Here you go. Praise God. You got, hold on to those. We're going to partake of communion in a second. Hold on to that. All the way in the back, there's no way I'm going to get this to you. Anybody, my man from Norfolk? Yeah? Anybody? Yes? You, ma'am? You're a real one. I can tell. She said, give me some of them ranch sunflower seeds. Praise the Lord. Right there. Did you catch it? I got another. Here you go. Okay, I'm gonna keep going right there until, yes, you got one? Give that to her. No, you eating it? Okay, praise the Lord. We're gonna take this and we're gonna take communion. How do y'all eat sunflower seeds? Do y'all eat them one at a time? Like me? How many people would take like 5 sunflower seeds and put a whole like stack in their mouth? Who does that? And then you have, I don't understand you people. I'll be honest, I'm jealous of you people. You have like an oral filtration system that can somehow get all the shells, like multiple shells out on one side, pass it through the other side on the seed side. Who does that? Who can do that? You're amazing. I don't know how you do it. Where did you learn that? Perhaps it's the reason why I cannot whistle, because I ain't got those kinds of skills. Why am I doing this? Because in a moment we're going to take this. I'm going to explain the parable of the sower right now from these sunflower seeds, and we can call it a day. Some of these that I just threw out fell on what the Bible calls the footpath. For our purposes, it would be like the seeds that fell on the aisle. And you might be saying, okay, what a bad sower. Don't ever let that guy throw the first pitch out. It fell on the aisle here, and it didn't get to anybody. It didn't land on anybody, on any soil whatsoever. And we know that later on, the host team, will pick these up later. Some of y'all think the host team is Satan. You feel like, why are these people trying to always tell me what to do? Like, why don't they let me have no freedom in here? You ever feel that way about the host team? It's like, let me live, host team. Chanel is just like, please stop talking about me. And just like the birds, hopefully the host team will clean these up later. Praise the Lord. Some of you will get these seeds, and you're happy you got it. Anybody happy to get some of these seeds? You got these seeds, but then you start thinking about your reputation, and you start thinking, man, I can't let people know I'm about to eat these seeds. Where do you get these seeds from? 7-Eleven? Gross. No, I can't. What will my neighbors think? Hey, David, what's up, man? I just gave away some David sunflower seeds. Praise the Lord. Some of you will receive these seeds, and you are consumed, and you want to eat these seeds, but you're consumed about worries. You're consumed about wealth, and you get these seeds, and you're like, man, I don't know if I can eat these seeds. Like, that ranch flavor dust, like, is that organic? I don't know. It's going to mess up my Gucci bag. Don't throw it on me. And then some of you have received the seed. You eat it, and you're like, 30. 60, 90-fold, I'm blessed. Y'all are the good soul. Amen. Let's break down what each part of these things are, okay? Who is the sower? Very simply, the sower is the one who sows the word. It's anyone who shares the gospel. It applies to Jesus. It applied to his disciples. It applies to us. Anybody who proclaim and who share God's word, the gospel, that is the sower. What is the seed? Though the sower is generic, anybody who sows the word, the seed is specific. The seed only means the word of God. That's what the seed is. It is the gospel. And it is powerful. How many people could say that the word of God is powerful? Amen? Right? The Bible talks about it in and of itself. It says in James 1:19, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. Again, seed, harvest, sowing, understanding, it is a theme that is repeated in conjunction. It says, you must all be quick to listen. Someone say, listen. Slow to speak. Slow to get angry. I love how it connects quick to get angry with quick to speak. Amen. It says, human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. So get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word that God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. Life is in the seed. Life is in the word. The power is in the seed. The power is in the word, not the soil. The soil is the atmosphere, but the word is the seed and the word is the power. Amen. The whole parable is going to talk and break down the different types of soil, but the power is the seed. Amen. Now, what is the soil? That's the third part, third character in this parable, if you will. The soil is the heart of the hearer, their spiritual condition. How is your soil today? Amen. Now, I have heard people say, and they're really good meaning, and they're not wrong. I wouldn't say it's wrong. You can use whatever figurative language you want, but I have heard people say, Pastor, I love being a part of this church. I've been so blessed over the years, like Trey was doing such a great job of doing. This has been a great church. I've been so blessed. I've grown. This is good soil. Now, there's nothing wrong with that inherently, but that's not what this parable is talking about. In this parable, the soil is not the church. The soil is the heart of the hearer. Amen. So we're going to break down the four soils that Jesus talks about as it relates to the state of someone's heart. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, we're going to talk about your heart today. Yeah. Amen. How's your heart? Maybe you had a bad haircut this week. How's your heart? Let's talk about the first soil. The first soil is the soil that was sown along the footpath. Okay, verse 14, Jesus explains. The farmer sowed the word. Some people are like the seed along the path where the word is sown, and as soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word. When you hear along the path, check out this AI-generated screen image of a footpath, and as you know about a path, it gets stepped on, and the more it gets stepped on and used, it becomes more and more compacted and more hardened. And so this type of soil is a hard-hearted person. They're hard-hearted or stubborn towards the things of God, that the word doesn't even penetrate, not out of anger, but just they're utterly just like whatever. They're not even receiving it. It doesn't even get to them. Interesting, because it says that a very natural thing about being hard-hearted, but then it immediately talks about a very supernatural thing about Satan stealing it away. So this is both a natural and spiritual issue. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 says, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So there is an enemy out there. There is an adversary out there. And his goal, one of his top aims, is that you would not understand the gospel. Misunderstanding the gospel seems to be central to rejecting the gospel. And so one of the things that we in the natural and the supernatural need to do is we need to pray that people's eyes would be open to understanding the gospel. And we needed to pray that the enemy would not steal the seed of the word that comes across their path. Now, we could talk about us as sowers needing to be better at teaching the gospel, because people have the misunderstandings that people share that kind of block them to the gospel are kind of universal. Why suffering? Why evil? Is this all about a mad, mean God? Is this just about rules and religion? And we can talk about those things, because most people who reject the gospel, they don't really understand the gospel. But the emphasis of this parable is not on the sower becoming a better sower. The emphasis or the focus should be on the soul of the hearer. Even for us here today, I wonder, how is your soul or the soil of your heart when it comes to understanding the things of God? Are there things about your faith that just don't make sense? Are there things about this Bible or just this Christian life that just kind of don't make sense to you? And here's what you do. You say, you know what? I'm going to play it cool. I'm going to just kind of go with the flow. And, you know, I like the people, and it's a good vibe, and the music's nice, and I love the ranch sunflower seeds that they give away on Sundays. And you keep going with it, and you think, it'll come. The problem with that thought is that if you don't choose understanding, the Bible shows us this type of soil is that the Satan, like a bird, will snatch the seed. And it's how so many fall away. It's because they never come to understanding. Amen. The second type of soil is the rocky soil with no roots. Verse 16, Jesus explains, it says, some are like seeds sown on rocky places. They hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. This sounds like somebody who's experienced the forgiveness of Christ. This sounds like someone who's received the good news. Like, this is good news. God is for me. He's made me new. He's transformed me. And you've seen someone who's, like, been lit up with a moment encounter with the Lord, haven't we? And that's good. That's a good thing. Amen. But what do we see out of this soil? We learn something pretty important. Your immediate response to the gospel is not as important as your long-lasting response to the gospel. Let me say that again. Your immediate response to the gospel is not as important as your long-lasting response to the gospel. Now, I don't want to apologize for the moments. I'm a believer in a moment. Can I get an amen? From this moment, Shania Twain, and my wife's not even here? Praise the Lord. So I believe in the power of a moment. We have at the end of our service is a moment for people to receive the grace and forgiveness of sin that only Christ offers salvation. Amen? So I believe in a moment. The foundation of the early church is Peter in a moment preaching forgiveness of sin, new life in Christ, and thousands got baptized. Like, someone's going to make a baptism decision today, I think. That's going to happen, and that happened in the early church. But it also says that these people were added to the church. Jesus says, the second type of soil, it says that these were people who had no root, and they only lasted a very short time. Now, in our church, and what has probably been kind of, I hate to say it, but the story of the global church, the modern church for so many decades now, is that there are swaths of people who make a decision, and yet somehow it seems as though just as many people wash away. But when we think about the criticism of this soil is that they had no root and they only lasted a short time. You and your soul of the soil of your soul is you want to be someone who has roots. In our church, we say it's someone who's planted. That you would be someone who not just knows people, but that people know you. It would be that there's people around you who would pray for you. Who's got people that will pray for them? That's awesome. Now, it's one thing to have somebody praying for you. It's a whole nother thing to have somebody praying with you, that you would know and be known. Why is establishing roots, why is being planted so important? Because what is guaranteed to come is trouble and persecution. He says, since they have no root, they only last a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Hear me, church. A gospel that says no bad thing will happen to you is a false gospel. When we abandon the gospel after trials come, it shows that there was nothing holding onto the stem. There was no root. And when you read the scripture, scripture is constantly preparing us for trials, for troubles, and for suffering. Can I get an amen? Do you need some more sunflower seeds? It is not true that God will never let you feel pain or go through challenge. It is just not true. Now, I believe in the power of a good report. I believe that God wants to do good things in your life. Can I get an amen? I believe that the Bible says that we are more than overcomers. Amen. The connotation with that is that there will be things that you have to overcome. Now, I believe that the Lord is our great physician, that I believe in the power of healing. God wants to heal you. Amen. What's the connotation? There's going to be things that come into your life that you are needing to be healed of. Amen. Matter of fact, quick pop quiz. Do you know the first time that we see God heal someone in the Bible? Think about it. Shout it out. First time someone heals, God heals someone in the Bible. Anybody know? Sorry? Breakfast? Genesis? Exodus? Ooh, close. I'll just tell you the answer. Adam in Genesis, in the very beginning. Genesis 2:21, it says, so the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. While the man was slept, the Lord God took out one of the man's ribs and closed up the opening. Turn to your neighbor and say, God will cut you. Go ahead, say, God will cut you. Come on, God will cut you. God will cut you. Amen. Now, the ilk of church that I grew up in, so many people would say that, you know what? God, any bad thing that comes into your life, it is not from God. God only does good things in your life. And actually, like, I still believe that where we need to reconcile is the things so often that we consider bad, God doesn't call bad. I promise you, if I was Adam, I'd be like, hey, I ain't trying to get shivved today, Lord. You know what I mean? But yet God had to cut him, take out a rib to create Eve for him. It wasn't bad. It was actually good. Jesus, because remember, this was happened before the fall. God cutting him wasn't bad. It wasn't evil. It wasn't sin. It wasn't anything. It was before the fall. Jesus, even later on at the fig tree, didn't he say you're either getting cut off or you're getting cut back? The true gospel is that it's not a gospel that says your life is going to be peachy keen. Your life is going to be easy. Your marriage is going to be easy. Your kids are always going to be fine. You're always going to get your want whenever you want it, right here, right now. Our faith is not that afflictions will not come. Christianity is that we will have a faith for when afflictions do come that will gird us, that will strengthen us, that will stand in us. We might be a bend, not break kind of faith, but we will still be rooted and planted in Jesus' name. Your hope, it is not in the temporal downswings of life. Your hope is an eternal hope. Hear me. Your hope is an eternal hope. 1 Peter chapter 1 says this, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectation. Y'all need to lift your expectations up. Come on, y'all. I expected better than this. That's of God. And we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. Was saved, being saved, will be saved. So be truly glad. There is a wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. Inheritance is our future. Remember the prodigal son, the lost son, the first lost son, if you caught both weeks. Remember the prodigal son? Why do we see him as not someone who made decisions in the first half as worthy to be celebrated? Because he went to the father and he went all J.G. Wentworth and said, it's my money and I want it now. And we read that and we're like, that is not a good godly thing. That should not be said about us. We should not be so like, yo, give me mine now. I want my blessings now. I want my inheritance. No. Our inheritance, man. is ultimately to come. Your trials will show you what kind of soil you are. If you've fallen away at hard times right now and your faith is hanging on by a thread, I don't mean to be offensive, but that means your faith was always hanging on by a thread. You just found out. It is time to go deeper in trust. It is time to be thinking beyond the temporal and thinking into the eternal. We are pilgrims who are passing through. Our home is in heaven. Can I get an amen? And that's just trials. Let's talk about persecution. Amen? Now you see why I gave away so many of these sunflower seeds. I was trying to win y'all over first. Most of us probably haven't faced any real persecution. Can I be honest? I'm just going to be real. Maybe you have. Probably not. Was recounting just this week with my buddy, Kevin Garrett. Prayed over him at our other campus a couple weeks ago. Him and his family are going to be missionaries over in Uganda. I've been to Uganda. Anybody been to Uganda? It's crazy. It's wow. It's awesome. God-loving, God-fearing people. And I was there, and what you quickly discover is that if you look on a map, Uganda borders Sudan. Pretty sure that's right. I actually didn't fact check that. I was like, I'll get that over the Glen Allen people. They're not going to think about this. But man, these college educated people, they should probably fact check. I was there in Uganda, and we have a missions partner through Legacy called Watoto Church. And I was there a few years ago, and we were having a dinner, and it was lovely. And was meeting with all the pastors there from the different locations. They're building beautiful churches out there. Just felt like Trump for a second. Beautiful church, the best churches. I don't know why, just the best churches, Uganda. What a terrible impression. Sorry, I'll work on it. I'll bring one next week. I was there in Uganda and was meeting with pastors there, and I was talking to one pastor, and I was like, all right, so what part of Uganda are you from? And he says, he actually got there later on in the dinner, and he says, oh, we just arrived. We're here from South Sudan. And I was like, South Sudan? Oh, wow. It's like, so how's it going over there? And he says, oh, man, you know, with a smile on his face. He just said, you know, God's continuing to build his church. He's like, we had to flee today, though, this morning, in the early morning. I said, what happened? He's like, well, there are these terrorist groups in South Sudan, and whenever they hear about a church starting up, they come in and they kill everybody in the church. And they come in and they just literally just mow people down with automatics. And so this is our third time trying to plant in South Sudan, and we were starting to get it going this time, Pastor, but in the middle of the night someone rushed us out because there were rebel forces coming in and wiped out the church this morning. And I was just like, dude, I don't know what to say to you right now. In my mind, I was like, I don't know what am I supposed to say? All I could think was that I have no idea what persecution really is. He went on to tell me that oftentimes, and as people in the church, they would catch wind that these groups were going to come in and potentially attack their church. And so word would spread like it should, good thing, and most of the people would not come. I wouldn't come, I don't think. I think if you told me, oh, yeah, they're going to come and kill everybody today, I'd be like, all right, listen, let's do online this week, praise God. You know, it's like, hey, I'm just being real. You know, it seems like a wise move. Let's throw them off the tracks. Let's meet Sunday night. Who knows? You know what I mean? I would have thought very logically about it. The pastor told me that he felt like it was his call to still be there because there would be people who would not have heard that would still gather. And he said that there would be times where he would show up. And the people that showed up for those services, there was a feeling, there was a seed, there was an understanding and a oneness of the word in their midst that could not be replicated. Most of the persecution that we will face in America, and I don't want to downplay it because it is real, it looks like the shunning by family, the shunning of friends, the shunning of our community, aka bad reputation. I think about, if you don't know maybe the history of our church in 2020, like every other church and every other group and every other business, we had to go through COVID. And in our church, we did all that we could to, we closed down for a time, and we wanted to be on the side of safety, and we wanted to make people understand that we weren't trying to kill people, and we did all we could to stay with the guidelines and made it to where we were feeling like we were in alignment with churches across the country as they started to come back to in-person gatherings. And we didn't press anybody, we didn't force anyone's hand, but we just said, hey, we're going to open, and we're going to do it as safely and according to standards by the CDC, as safely as possible. And some did come up, and for many, it took many a long time, and I don't blame them. And everyone, you know, I don't blame people for that. But I had some people say to me, and I'm not making a guess, I literally had multiple people come to me and said, Pastor, I wanted to come sooner. And they told me this, and I was shocked. At least two people directly told me what I'm about to share with you. They said, but it just would have looked bad if I did. Wouldn't have been good for my reputation. Oh, you're a Christian. You probably don't vote like me. Oh, you're a Christian. You probably don't welcome people like me. And it is misconceptions, misunderstandings, it's wrong, it's presumptive, and it's insulting. But for many, the tarnishing of their reputation is too big a stumbling block. 1 Peter 4, verse 12 says this, "Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you are going through, as if it's something strange that were happening to you. Instead, be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering, so that you will have wonderful joy, seeing his glory when it is revealed to all the world." Listen to verse 14. It says, if you are insulted because you bear the name of Christ, you will be blessed, for the glorious Spirit of God rests upon you. I'm not happy about any pain of shunning or persecution, but when we experience it, be encouraged. You are walking in blessing because you are sharing in the suffering that Christ suffered. We become not just co-laborers, we become co-sharers. Jesus said, he who confesses me before man, will I confess before my Father in heaven. And says, whenever fiery trials, whenever challenges, whenever attacks upon your reputation come across you, consider it a blessing. Oh my God. Okay, I need to get through this. Third soil. Here you go. You ready? Third soil. Seed among thorns. Verse 18. Still others, like seed among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, the desires for other things come in, they choke the word. These are the weeds of worry, the weeds of wealth. Oh my gosh, Pastor. An anti-materialism point? Yeah. Because they're compared to thorns or weeds. These, what I know about weeds is that weeds, they happen without much required of us. They just grow on their own. And that's exactly how the worries, and that's exactly how the deceitfulness of wealth traps and chokes out God's seed in your life. You just don't even realize it. The worries of this world. Matthew 6, he talks about the worries of the world. What will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? I know a lot of us worry about what we wear so often. I know I do. Talk about embarrassment. That picture, I'm wearing the same outfit. God! Someone should have ran that by me. The worries of this world. Secondly, the deceitfulness of riches. Hear me. Neither riches nor poverty create heart, but they do reveal heart. How much is too much money as a Christian? Have you ever thought about that? How much is too much money? Well, the answer is it depends. The answer is whatever amount causes you to stop trusting in the Lord is too much. For many of you, if you had $10,000 in your bank account right now, you'd be like, I am good. I don't need to pray anymore because I've been praying about things. Prayer answered. Thank you, Lord. Shout out for the hookup. We out here. Hallelujah. Let's go to Tulum. What's up? Because you found yourself every day relying on the Lord. And what is the wealth that we'll chuck at the sea? Oh, I have enough now. And yet I know some, truly, who have $10 million in their account. But yet they still trust in the Lord with everything that matters. And they're still generous. So much of wealth is used to create image. My identity, my image is not in how much I own, not in what I do, not in my title, not what covenant I work for, not even how God chooses to use me. I am a son that was adopted by the most gracious Father, led home by the Spirit, and that will never change no matter what I do, where I'm at, how much I have, what is on my desk, what is in my driveway. None of that is going to change about my identity. And lastly, the desire for other things, it says. The worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desire for other things. It's all the rest of it, all the rest of the desires that choke out God's word and God's seed. I love Psalms 37, verse 4. It says, take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. I love talking about this because you can read this in two different ways. Number one, you can say, if I delight in the Lord, then he will give me my heart's desires. Yes. But I don't think that's how we are supposed to hear this verse. I actually think this is about desire replacement. It actually, the delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires. Not just someone who just says, I got my desires figured out, God, now it's time for you to give me mine. No, a soil, the good soil, is when we're not choked out by the worries and the desires and the wealth, and we're not led astray by all those wants, but instead we say, God, change me from the inside out. Change me. Give me heart replacement. Put some surgery. Cut me open, God, and replace a heart of stone and make it a heart of flesh. What do you want me to desire? What do you want me to want? Who do you want me to be? Where do you want me to go? I talked to a man this morning, Nate Hollis, who stood in and led our service at Glen Allen, and he walked into our service ministering to people. He said, I want to honor this man. It wasn't about me, but he says that I came into this church where I said, I don't want to go back to church. I met this man, and he said, I don't want a pastor in my life. I was in a season where I said, God, I'm through with chicks, bro. I'm done with women. I will never get married. And because he kept saying, God, not my will, your will. God, not what I want. What do you want from me, God? And he found himself planted. He found themselves undercovering. And he found themselves with a beautiful woman who loved. And the family and the future ahead of him is godly good. How much of your life have you already said, this is me. This is what I want. Versus how much of you would say, God, help me to want and to love and to desire what you want me to love and to desire. That leads us to the good soil. Worship team, come and join me. Verse 20, others like seed sown on good soil hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop. 30, 60, 90, 100. What was sown? How many people are numbers people in here? That's what they sound like. Yeah. I love you, D. How many people are pictures people? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Praise God. It's like, why are we talking about soils and why are you talking about numbers? Numbers have always caused me problems. I don't think so many of us really understand, like, multiplication, like, exponential numbers. Like, the difference between a million, a billion, and a trillion. It's just, like, hard to grasp. Do you know how much time a million seconds is? I had to write it down. A million seconds is about 12 days. So how much more would be a billion seconds? couple months, couple years. A billion seconds is 32 years. The last one's not as hard to figure out. A trillion is 32,000 years. Albert Einstein said that the compound interest is the eighth wonder of the world. He who understands it earns it. He who doesn't pays it. The truth is if you give your heart to Christ, you become good soil today. The seed of faith begins to take root. And what is this produce that Jesus is talking about? This seed has an impact on everyone that you come into contact with, and exponentially more.